In Matthew chapter 8, in verse 1, it says, when he was come down from the mountain, our Lord Jesus Christ had been preaching there his Sermon on the Mount in this mountain. And as he came down, it says, great multitudes followed him. And behold, now these are shocking words, and behold, there came a leper. It's spoken as if he comes from this crowd. There in the midst of this crowd that's following him, there comes a leper. This is shocking. The disease of leprosy was such a horrible disease that lepers were quarantined. They were kept separate, without the camp, cut off from the people. And if a leper came near to a person, he had to cry out, unclean, unclean, so that he didn't come into contact with anybody else. So you picture this scene now. Here's this leper, and he's making his way along with the clamor of this people, with this crowd of people. And he's probably crying out, unclean, unclean, as he comes through. And the people, can you imagine? Everybody jumping clear of this fellow, standing back from this fellow. He's a leper. And he comes, and they don't even want to touch this one that's got this awful disease. They don't want to come in contact with this fellow. And so finally he gets to the Lord Jesus Christ. And it says there in verse 2, and he worshipped him. That means he fell on his face at the feet of Christ, saying, Lord, if thou wilt, thou canst make me clean. Now I picture this crowd in silent suspense. Just stopped in their tracks. This man is a leper. This man's unclean. Anything that comes in contact with this man is unclean. This is a contagious disease. What's the Master going to do? What's the Lord Jesus Christ going to do? Can you picture the suspense of this crowd standing there watching this? What's Christ going to do? Verse 3. And Jesus put forth his hand and touched him, saying, I will, be thou clean. And immediately his leprosy was cleansed. I've titled this message, Mercy Sought, Mercy Found. This leper that nobody else would even as much as touch, much less show any mercy to, he came begging mercy from the hand of the great physician. And this leper obtained mercy. The Lord cleansed him immediately. With a touch, he cleansed him. Is there anybody here? Is there anybody, young or old, male or female, that is in the condition that this man was in? A sinner. Absolutely hopeless. In yourself. Absolutely incurable in yourself. Absolutely helpless to help yourself. This man didn't have a friend in the world. Not a friend. This man didn't have anybody that could help him. He was alone. Is there anybody here like that? Do you see hope for you in this leper. The Lord made this man whole. Why wouldn't He do the same for anybody that comes to Him like this leper came? You see hope for yourself in this leper? Christ Jesus cleanses all that come to Him seeking mercy. I can say that without reservation. I can say that without any hesitation at all. The problem is, do we know what it is to come seeking mercy? To come seeking mercy. He forgives, He cleanses, He makes whole everybody that comes to Him seeking mercy. So why don't you come to Him seeking mercy? If He did it for this leper, do you think He'd do it for you? Somebody might say, but how do I seek mercy? How is it I seek mercy? That's what we're going to look at right here in this verse. Mercy obtained. Is mercy sought for? And mercy sought for will always be mercy obtained. Always. I want you to see three things here. First of all, to seek mercy from Christ is to come in desperate need. The second thing, to seek mercy is to come in true humility. This man came and fell down at His feet. And the third thing, to seek mercy is to come submitting in faith to Christ. This man said, if Thou wilt, Thou canst make me clean. Now somebody here might say, well, this doesn't apply to me because I've already come to Christ. I've already come to Him and sought mercy, and I already found mercy from Him. So this doesn't apply to me. Listen to me and listen carefully. Seeking mercy from Christ is not something we do and get it out of the way and we're done with that. That's not seeking mercy from Christ. Seeking mercy from Christ is not deciding one day, okay, I'm going to believe on Him. It's not deciding, all right, I'm going to let Him do something for me. It's not deciding one day, I'm going to be baptized. Those things, being baptized, following Him, confessing Him, is the fruit of what Christ does in the heart. Seeking His mercy is the fruit of what Christ does in the heart. He seeks us first, and then we'll seek Him. We'll seek Him. But mercy is something the believer comes begging Christ for all the days that we live on this earth. It's a perpetual state of life for the believer. If you've ever sought mercy from Him once, you know mercy is what you need constantly. And mercy is what you seek of Him continually. And you never stop seeking mercy from Him. And the way we begin seeking mercy from Him, right here as we're going to look at, this is how we seek mercy from Him the rest of our days. All right, let's see. First of all, to seek mercy from Christ is to come in desperate need. This man was a leper. Leprosy is one of the best pictures in Scripture of what sin is. Leprosy, just like sin, it made everything it touched unclean. That's what sin does. Our sin. Like sin, it was incurable. It couldn't be cured by a man. Like sin, it consumed. That's what leprosy did. That's what sin does. Sin, leprosy would consume. A man's hair would fall out. His nails would fall out. His joints would become out of joint and dislocated. His teeth would come out. his skin would deteriorate and fall off of the skeleton. When you look at a baby and you see it just smooth and just pretty, and then you look at a man who's been around for 80 or 90 years, do you see what sin does? Sin does exactly what leprosy does. Just looking at it in the outward form, just in the flesh, we see what sin does. It becomes worse and worse in the heart, and it always ends in death. In death. You may not have leprosy, but you have a disease worse than leprosy. It's sin. It's sin. This leper knew he had a desperate need. This leper, if he looked in the mirror, the only thing he saw was leprosy. This man, if he was doing anything at all, he was making everything unclean. This man, if he was doing nothing at all, was a leper. And this man, if he left in this condition, he's dead, he's dying, and he will be eternally dead. He's a picture of sin. That's what this man is. You know that condition? Do you know that's what you are by nature? That's what you are in this flesh is sin. That's what the believer is in the flesh is sin. Sin. And I think this leper knew he had something worse than leprosy. I think this leper knew his problem was sin. He didn't come and say, "Heal me of my leprosy." He came and said, "Lord, if you will, you can make me clean." The Lord had been in this mountain preaching, and he had been rebuking the self-righteous. He had been declaring that sin is in the heart. And I don't know if this leper was somewhere around that mountain. I don't know if he was listening to what was going on. But this leper did exactly what the Lord said as he preached this message. Turn back to Matthew 5. Matthew 5 and look at verse 20. He said, "I say unto you that except your righteousness shall exceed the righteousness of the scribes and Pharisees, you shall in no case enter into the kingdom of heaven." Now these were men that if you looked at them, you thought you can't get any more righteous than these folks. Look at what the Lord said. "You've heard that it was said by them of old time, thou shalt not kill, and whosoever shall kill shall be in danger of the judgment. But I say unto you that whosoever is angry with his brother without a cause shall be in danger of the judgment. Whoever shall say to his brother, Raca, shall be in danger of the council. But whosoever shall say, Thou fool, shall be in danger of hell fire." He's saying this thing is in the heart. Sin proceeds out of the heart. This is what defiles a man. This is what makes a man unclean. It's not that which is without a man. It's what's coming from within him that makes a man unclean. And look what the Lord said. "Therefore, if thou bring thy gift to the altar, and there rememberest that thy brother hath aught against thee, leave there thy gift before the altar, and go thy way. First be reconciled to thy brother, and then come and offer thy gift. Agree with thine adversary quickly whilst thou art in the way with him, lest at any time the adversary deliver thee to the judge, and the judge deliver thee to the officer, and thou be cast into prison. Verily I say unto thee, thou shalt by no means come out thence till thou paid the uttermost farthing." You know what this leper did? He did exactly what the Lord said. He came and agreed with his adversary very quickly. He came and agreed with him while he was in the way with him. He came while Christ was near. Christ was the one that had aught against him. God's the one that had aught against him. And this leper came to him right away. The rest of them were following, came down out of the mount, were following behind him. This man came to him. He came to him. That's what Christ is saying. He said, "Don't try to come to me offering me gifts. Leave your gifts behind. You come and agree with your adversary. Confess what you are. Come to me and own what you are." That's confession of sin. Repentance is owning that everything we are, everything we've ever done, everything we've ever thought, everything we've ever said, everything about us is absolutely leprosy. Nothing but sin. And this man came right away. Do you see your need of his cleansing? Do you know that without Christ you're like this leper? Just like this leper was. So before any sinner seeks mercy, before we seek mercy, we're going to have need. And that need means we don't have anything to bring. We got nothing to bring. We got nothing to bring to the table. We got nothing to offer. That's what mercy is. It's giving you something you don't have and can't have. Only Christ can give it. Here's the second thing. To seek mercy is to come to Christ in true humility. Verse 2 says, "And behold, there came a leper and worshipped him." Luke tells us, seeing Jesus, he fell on his face. Seeing Jesus, he fell on his face. When are we going to fall on our face? When we see the Lord Jesus Christ. And that's what true worship is. It's to be prostrate. That means flat. That means broken and contrite in the heart. It means complete. You can lay down on your face all you want to. You could come up here, if we had a mourner's bench, you could come up here and lay down and until your head's bruised. It's a heart contrition. It's a heartbrokenness. That's what it is. Through the gospel, Christ comes in this covenant, this light. He breaks the hard heart and he gives a heart of flesh. And when he gives the heart of flesh, that's when we become undone. That's when all our righteousnesses become as filthy rags. That's a nice way of putting it. It's menstrual cloths. That's what everything that we have ever done is. That's what all our righteousnesses are now that believe, apart from Christ's cleansing blood. We're made to be fully unclean when we behold Christ, the fountain that's open for cleansing. We're made to become fully poor in spirit, nothingness, when we see Christ who is all. We're made to become absolutely mourners, sorrowful, crying, desperately just seeing the abhorrence of our own condition when we behold Christ. That's when we're going to be made to hunger and thirst after righteousness, when we see Him who is righteousness. Job said, "I've heard of thee by the hearing of the ear, but now mine eye seeth thee. Wherefore I abhor myself and repent in dust and ashes." You know where the dust is? It's in the ground. It's at the sole of the foot. You know where this man came? He came and bowed down to Christ. That means if we're going to come to Him in the first hour, in every hour, in all hours, in the hour of worship, in the hour of prayer, in the hour of need, in the hour of plenty, every time we come to Him, we're coming to Him down. We're coming to Him down from the pride of our self-righteousness. We're coming to Him down from the pride of some self-sufficiency in us. We're coming to Him down from anything that's in us at all. We're coming down to the feet of Christ. Our Lord said in that sermon, "Broad is the way, wide is the gate. Many go in that way, and few enter in at the straight gate. That way's narrow." Our Lord says the majority of the people in this world never seek Christ's mercy. You know why? They never come down. Never have a need. Never come down and heart is broken from that pride to bow down at His feet. This leper came down. And you know what happens to those who are broken in spirit? Look back at Matthew 5:3. Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are they that mourn, they shall be comforted. Blessed are the meek, for they shall inherit the earth. Blessed are they which do hunger and thirst after righteousness, for they shall be filled. That's all going to be done by Christ. All going to be done by Him. Here's the third thing. To seek mercy is to come to Christ submitting in faith. Look at what He said, verse 2. He said, Lord, not just Lord as some other earthly master. He came on in Christ to be the Son of God, Lord. Lord, if Thou wilt, if You're willing, Thou can make me clean. As bad as his disease was, as bad as his sin was, though he'd been cast out of the camp, though everybody had turned their back on him, he heard Christ say something. He heard this in his heart. If he didn't hear it in that particular Sermon on the Mount, he heard this in his heart. Christ said this in this sermon. Look at Matthew 7:7. Christ said this, ask, and it shall be given you. Seek, and it shall be opened unto you. Or you shall find. Knock, and it shall be opened unto you. For everyone that asketh, receiveth. And he that seeketh, findeth. And to him that knocketh, it shall be opened. Not everybody asks. Not everybody seeks. Not everybody knocks. But those that do. This is what the Lord says. It's open to them. They receive. They find. This man came making absolutely no demands whatsoever. He didn't come making any demands. He came and said, Lord, if You will. Are you thinking anybody here so arrogantly, foolishly, deplorably ignorant as to think we're going to be saved by our will? That we're going to make God willing to do something by our will? We can't stop ourselves from catching a cold by our will, much less cure ourselves of it. We can't do it. The will of man is the most impotent, weak, nothing thing there is in this world. Salvation depends upon the will of the Lord. Salvation is not dependent upon our will. Mercy is His to give to whomsoever He will. The Lord said to Moses, I'll have mercy on whom I'll have mercy. I'll have compassion upon whom I'll have compassion. So then it's not of him that willeth, nor of him that runneth, but of God that showeth mercy. God put a people in Christ by His will. Christ came and laid down His life and redeemed them from all iniquity, purging them of all their sin by His one offering, by His will. And it's by the will of the Spirit of God that He calls a sinner. In the season of His love, He regenerates us, and in the day of His power, then He makes us willing. And when we were made willing, we'll come to Christ saying, Lord, if You're willing, if You're willing, if You're willing. It's Your right to give me mercy or to withhold mercy from me. It's Your right to shed Your grace on me or withhold Your grace from me. Lord, whatever's glorifying to You, Lord, if You're willing. And until then, we're just arrogant little pygmies stomping our feet like a little temper tantrum in front of God trying to make Him do something by our will. Until we just down at His feet saying, Lord, whatever You will. Whatever You will. But He came in that way believing God. That's what coming in faith is. Look at this. He said, Lord, if You will, Thou can make me clean. I believe You can make me clean. And do you see what He said here? I believe You can make me clean. This one who is absolutely so wretched in sin. Lord, if you're willing, you can make me clean. Even me. See, salvation's personal. Here's the question. Do you believe Christ is the Son of God? Do you believe Christ is God's Christ? That He's God's salvation? That He's the only salvation that God is saved by? Do you believe that Christ has done what He claims He's done? That when He said, "It is finished," do you believe Christ finished thoroughly, making you completely and totally accepted of God so that there remains absolutely nothing else to be done? Do you believe Christ has power to cleanse you of all sin? Without faith, it's impossible to please Him. For he that cometh to God must believe that He is, that He is, that He is God, that He is salvation, that He is righteousness, that He is sanctification, that He is redemption, that He is all. In coming, we believe He is a rewarder of them that diligently seek Him. You see, to come to Him the way this leper came to Him, this is what it is to diligently seek Christ. To diligently seek Him. How did He come? He came in desperate need. Into my hand, no price I bring. I don't have anything, Lord. He came in complete humility, broken down at Christ's feet. And He came submitting in faith, completely surrendering to the Lord's will, completely casting all hope of salvation into Christ's hand. If thou wilt, thou can make me clean. Now listen to me one more time. The Lord Jesus Christ has never, He says this, He never rejects a sinner who comes the way this leper came. Never. God is a rewarder of them that diligently seek Him. Don't seek your will. Don't seek your wisdom. Don't seek your work. Don't seek your acts. Don't seek anything you have done. Diligently come completely and totally, casting all into His hand. He said this, the Lord said this, Malachi 3:10, prove me. He said, try me. Test me. Prove me, He said. Saith the Lord of hosts, see if I will not open you the windows of heaven and pour you out a blessing that there shall not be room enough to receive it. He said, prove me. There has to be something. That leprosy has to be so thoroughly, desperately wicked in us, sin, that would make us sit and not come to Him when He says that freely, come to me. Come to me. That tells us the only ones that's coming are those He's drawing. The only ones He's broken. The only ones He's made to come. Listen to this song. Will you prove Him? Listen to this song. I can but perish if I go. I am resolved to try. For if I stay away, I know I must forever die. But if I die with mercy sought, when I, the King, have tried, this were to die. This would be to die as sinner never died. You see the wisdom in that song? If I sit here in my sin, a complete and total dead man, dying, wicked, I'm going to never be clean. If I come to Him, the worst that can happen to me is I'm going to end up being right where I'm at. But there's never been anybody that's tried the King. There's never been anybody that's tried Him, His faithfulness to His Word. It come to Him truly seeking mercy. There's never been a sinner that perished in his sin that ever came that way. It's coming completely trusting Christ to do everything. God, to get all the glory and all the praise, and to save you by His grace. This leper sought mercy. Did he find it? Did he find it? If just one sinner that ever came this way seeking mercy found it, that ought to be all the evidence I need that God will receive me if I come like He came. This is what he found out, verse 3. Jesus put forth his hand and touched him, saying, I will be thou clean. If God's willing, all he's got to do is say, be thou clean. And immediately his leprosy was cleansed. Remember this right here. If you don't get anything else from this message, remember this. Mercy sought. True mercy. Mercy sought is always mercy obtained. Amen.